I've heard this passage from Isaiah referenced many times in regards to, you know, everything's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. It's under his providence. You know, just as from the heavens, the rain comes down, snow comes down. They don't return there until they have accomplished their purpose, until they have watered the earth and making it fertile and fruitful. That's how God's word comes from his mouth and does his will and doesn't return until it's accomplished it. So it's what I've noticed, that when people reference this kind of, or this thought, or this way of working in which God is active in our world, sometimes it can kind of be a cop-out for us. So it's like, well, God wills it, you know, so it in his plan is perfect, and so it's going to be complete, it's going to be fulfilled. But did you notice that in the responsorial psalm, the refrain, the seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest? Oh, wait, not necessarily. And this is the reason why, you know, we find so much suffering and struggle and sin and division in this world, because it's not automatic that, you know, God's providential, gracious care for us, his grace that's permeating everything, that it often doesn't bear fruit, because there's sin in the world, and we see it all around us. All of us know people who really struggle with the faith or have left the faith because of all of the bad things that have happened to them, or all of the bad things that they see that they're surrounded by. And how could we have a God that's so near and so caring and so loving, you know, when he would allow these things to happen to me, right? We know the story, but there's more to bearing fruit in this life than just God's work. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. So that means we have something to do in regards to the life of faith and bearing fruit in the world. That for this world to be transformed, it doesn't all depend upon God. It also depends upon our response, our work. So we are the soil. And so God has to have fertile soil for us. And we have this beautiful parable that lays out the, you know, the different types of soil and the resulting fruit and fruitfulness of the seed that comes about that God plants. And you notice that God always scatters. God always plants. God always sows the seed. And so the onus is on us. And so we have the type of soil that falls on hard ground. And what, as Jesus is explaining that, what is the soil that falls on hard ground? Those who hear the word, but they don't understand. And why don't they understand? Because their hearts have been hardened. And so there's a closed-mindedness in regards to the life of faith. They have their way. Or I think oftentimes our own struggle, the seed that falls among thorns, the cares and riches of this world consume the person, right? And the word is choked out. In the prayer over the gifts that we'll be hearing in just a minute, and the prayer after communion, I found it very interesting that the word consumed is included in that prayer. And, you know, when I think about the word consume, I immediately think of food, right? Consume, taking it all in. He consumed it. He had a voracious appetite, right? And when the word consumed used in both of those prayers, you know, it refers to communion, Holy Communion. We consume the Eucharist. So many times, you know, when we think about the Eucharist, we're thinking about, you know, eating the body of Christ, right? And drinking his blood. We're consuming. But the consuming that has to happen for us is not a physical consuming. Yes, that's part of the sacrament. Under the sacramental sign of bread and wine, right, we receive the body and blood of Jesus. But in order for it to bear fruit, our heart has to be what's consuming the Lord, our will, our love. So we can come up and receive the Eucharist, we can consume the Eucharist, but our hearts and our minds can be way far away consuming something else that's associated with life. Now, here's the thing. Our hearts are made for God. We're made for, we have an eternal desire within us. Not, and it's not just certain people. Every single one of us have an eternal desire so that nothing on this earth can ultimately satisfy. This is the reality. And so here's what's going to happen in our lives. We're going to be about consuming something because that's what we're made for. So this desire, this movement that we have within us to consume, that's connected to our eternal desire for God. And we all have it. Now here's the thing. We're either consuming the things of the Lord and we're consumed with following the Lord, or we're going to be consumed with following things outside of the Lord. If you take a look at all of the capital sins, lust, gluttony, pride, greed, they're all about consuming something, right? They're all about consuming something. And so that eternal desire is taken and attempted to be satisfied in a disordered way, and we find ourselves miserable. Here's the way that it is to roll. For us to have truly fertile soil, the best thing that we could do is move our heart and our desire to be concerned with the things of God. And as St. Teresa of Avila will say, loving God, being consumed with the things of God is not about experiencing delight in God. So it's not a matter of I come up to communion and I'm not feeling anything. There's no experience of delight, so there's no love there, and so there's no movement for consuming. No, she says, love is a decision. Love is a choice. This is about the last point here. You know, when it comes to perspective, with all of our concerns, everything that takes up our thoughts, our feelings, the proper order is that with everything in life, including spouses, children, those things that we would determine as some of the most important things in our life, everything except God we should be concerned about. All right? They should be concerns. There's only one thing, only one, that we should be consumed about, and that is God. But what we find in our lives, don't we, is that we're consumed about so many things. We are consumed about so many things. And as soon as we let ourselves be consumed with the things of this world, even good things, and we know the difference between being concerned and being consumed about something, right? As soon as we allow ourselves and hand over ourselves to be consumed by something other than God, we make ourselves into hard soil, and the seed bears no fruit. And so we're not going to have any kind of personal experience of God. We're not going to experience the delight of the Lord that He so much wants to give us. So brothers and sisters, maybe today take a few minutes just to maybe examine our lives. What are the things that we have found ourselves we've handed ourselves over to be consumed with? So, and when I mean consumed, I mean it's occupying a lot of our thoughts and our feelings. It might be a good thing. It might be a sinful thing. It might be something like Immaculate talked about on Friday night or Saturday, something that we're very resentful and angry about, how that can be consuming. Or it just might be, basic temporal matters and things of this world that are not sinful in themselves but have displaced God. We can identify those things in our life. Why? How? Why? Because God wills it. How? Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the Holy Spirit's gifts of understanding and counsel.